Hello, I'm Free Pod host Sherry Gibson. I'm very happy to be hosting this week's in-depth interview with professional dog trainer Jan Carlson. And Jan, I think we can safely say that today's interview is going to the dogs.
That would be a good way to put it.
Glad to have you today. Tell us a little bit about your background, if you would.
Okay, well, came to Freeport in 1984 working for the Park District. My first career was Parks and Recreation, and then I decided I knew I wanted to do something with dogs, and so about in 84, I decided to change careers and go into dog training and went to a dog training school in Columbus, Ohio, and then came back and started my own business. So I did one-on-one training, some classes in places all over the area, and then eventually built my own place in 2008 on Baileyville Road, or Baileyville and Lamb Road, which is Carlson Canine Camp.
You no longer own that business, right?
Correct. I sold that at the end of 2018. I'd had some health issues, and I sold it. And since then, I've just been doing training at a kennel in Lena, JNC's Bed and Biscuit in Lena, and then also going to people's homes and also doing therapy dog training through FHN.
You make it look so easy because we've worked together, you know, with my current puppy. And so you make it look so easy and you know, and you have such wonderful ideas. So, but today we want to talk about dogs in general, some safety tips and different things like that. And one of the things with summer being here is hot weather and dogs. There's a lot of things to think about. And one of those being ticks. I know that I've heard that anyhow, that ticks are very prevalent this year. So what do we need to know about that?
Well, there's two different types of ticks, the worst being deer ticks. There's wood tick. Well, there's probably several different kinds, but wood ticks and deer ticks are the most prevalent that I'm aware of. Deer ticks carry Lyme disease, which dogs can get and people. And it can be in people cause dementia and all kinds of stuff in dogs. One of my dogs was just diagnosed with Lyme disease. Luckily, it's early and we think she's going to be okay. They can't cure it, but we have her on doxycycline, and that's going to keep it under a certain level that after once it gets too high, then it can be much more detrimental to dogs. But I think right now she you wouldn't know she has any symptoms. It just so happened we did a heartworm blood test and this showed up. But ticks are in high grass areas around trees and things. So I'm always careful. We do go to Crate Park a lot. I walk my dogs almost every day, either at Crate Park or Burchard Hills or Reed Park. They love to sniff. So they're in the grass sniffing. And sniffing also wears them out, which is nice. But when I get home, I always check them closely for ticks. I have never found one on the dog that has Lyme disease, but she must have had one. And deer ticks are little tiny things. They're hard to see. So if, you know, check your dogs regularly. We also go to Friends Forever a lot, and there's some areas where there's trees with high grass and plants around them. And again, could be breeding area for ticks or wood along fence lines and things. So
what's the best way to check them? Do you use a comb or do you just try to look?
I run my hands through them. Okay. And the trick is to go like under their armpit things and stuff and through their toes, their tail, just about everywhere.
Again, you're going to feel a bump, right?
If yeah, you'll feel just kind of just a little thing. Sometimes with one of my dogs, she has like a little bitty wart and I always find that and think, oh, it's a tick.
Uh-huh.
But it isn't. And so that you check just everywhere you can. But a lot of times they like to get in their ears or behind their ears and, you know, more enclosed places like where they're the top of their armpit like things.
So what would the symptoms be if they had one?
Yeah, my dog had nothing. It can be, I think they probably get lethargic and stuff. And then they say later on it can be cause arthritis and things. I don't truly know for sure if dogs can get some kind of memory issues like people do. That would be worth checking with the vet. But I think probably every dog's a little bit different. But wood ticks, too, aren't wonderful for them. I have not heard of what they can cause, but they get bigger and bigger. I haven't had any on my dogs since probably the mid-90s because I check them so close with those. But they fill up with blood.
Okay.
And we call them a raisin. Once they're filled up, they turn to this gray thing, but they have these little lines through them that make them look like raisins. But watch for those too. And they can attach onto people too. And you have to be very careful. And like I said, the deer ticks are tiny and you hardly see them. You have to really check both yourself and dogs.
What's the best way to remove a tick if you find one?
Usually a tweezers. If it's on a dog, they also sell a thing called a tick key that you run over it, but a tweezers works too. But you want to be sure to get the head too. Don't just pull the body. You have to get the head out too. So make sure you do that.
And I've always heard you're supposed to pull it out straight. Is that the best way?
Right. Yeah, straight out from the dog. And again, just make sure you get the head. And if you do find ticks on them or even yourself, it's not bad to maybe check with your vet and make sure the dog is okay and have them, double check them. And like in my dog's case, the blood work, I have no idea how long ago she may have had a tick on her. But I've never seen one on her, and I check her all the time.
What is, do you want to keep the tick and take it to the vet? Can they tell what kind of tick it is, or is that not beneficial?
It probably wouldn't hurt. You can look them up online, too. They show them, but deer ticks are very tiny usually, but probably wouldn't hurt. And, if the vet, they might be able to tell you something more about it, more in depth, but okay. Yeah.
Let's talk too about hot cars. Now, this is true for kids, for dogs, for basically anybody. It doesn't have to be extremely hot outside, does it, for the car to get dangerously hot?
No, they say anything over 70 degrees gets too hot too fast. Within like 20 minutes, it can be up to 100 degrees in a car. And anything below 32 gets very cold too. So you want to be careful both ways. And yeah, same, kids and dogs. People think, oh yeah, I left the window open, it's fine. It's not, So yeah, they get very hot and they can pass out and die and dehydrate very quickly.
Is there a recommendation if you are just passing by a car that has a dog and you're suspecting that it's hot? I mean, you read stories about people breaking windows and all kinds of things. What really should you do if you see that?
I think I would call the police first, or if I knew, if it was an area that I might know, it might be a small building, they might be inside or something. If I don't know who it is and don't have a way of finding them, I might break the window. But I would probably call the police first, and then, because I think I've seen police, or not seen them myself, but I've heard of police doing it too. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're better off doing it than you are, but I would stay there with the car and watching, make sure the dog or child are okay.
Right. It's a scary thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you don't realize how quickly that car can heat up. I think in a lot of cases, people aren't trying to leave their dog or their pet in a dangerous situation, but they just don't realize
how fast. I think the windows act like a magnifying glass. And if you've ever put a magnifying glass under the sun and, it'll heat up fast.
This time of year, too, it's really important to make sure your pet has enough water to keep them hydrated. You just always want to have that water dish filled, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I have 3 water dishes throughout my house, and I'm constantly filling them. And even at night, they go drink water if they're hot. And even with the air conditioning on, they'll be wandering around, and they just go drink. I'm surprised at how much they drink during the night that I don't even know, and stuff. So, yeah, I keep it around all day and all night. I don't leave my dogs out very long, but if people do leave them out, they definitely need water outside. But again, if it's hot out, you want to be careful there too, even though they're not in a car. It heats up. I have a concrete patio that I have a black dog, and she goes out and lays on that. But being black, she gets really hot really fast in the sun. I let her stay out about 3 minutes when she's doing that, and then I make her come in. But it's surprising how fast they heat up both even that way. And you have to be careful of concrete if you're walking them, and blacktop, especially with their paws too. So, and again, I take my dogs for a walk almost every day. I have water in my car, and they get water as soon as they get back in the car.
Is there a test? You mentioned hot pavement. Is there a test, like if you touch it and it doesn't feel hot to you, is it safe for the dog?
That's what I do. And with my dogs, the one we walk, they both love to sniff too. So for the most part, I let them walk, and I want them to walk more in the grass because they are sniffing and checking things out and stuff. And they love to do that. But if you're walking them on, even concrete gets hot fairly quick, but blacktop is the worst and gets really bad. So check that with your hands.
You mentioned different colored dogs get hot quicker, like a black or a dark fur dog. What about different breeds? And of course, hair length makes a difference too, doesn't it?
One of my dogs is a golden, and I brush her a lot, but she seems to stay cooler. dogs like huskies and malamutes and things, sometimes people want to shave them in the summer. The thinking is don't do that. Their undercoat also keeps them cool rather than, you know, people think, oh, it's too hot for them to have all that hair. But that really helps cool them. So don't shave them. Those long-haired dogs are the ones with, it's called a double coat. That protects them both in the summer and the winter. So, but black dogs, dark dogs, they definitely, like I said, my black dog, the heat on her, it's amazing in the sun how fast you just touch her side and it's really hot.
When I'm really hot, and people, I think a lot of times you want something really cold, ice cream, a popsicle, something, and you can get that brain freeze, if you will, or get a headache from it. Is that the same with dogs? I mean, do you want to put ice in their water or?
I don't typically. Part of the reason, too, if I do put ice, they want to grab that out and play with it. But I think, too, it can be too cold for them. I did make the mistake of giving my dog an ice cream cone for her birthday one day at McDonald's, and we weren't even out of the parking lot, and she puked it all up all over my car. I think it was too cold, and she ate it too fast. So some of the places in town have things called pup cups,
yes,
which is made from whipped cream. And I also buy Frosty Paws at the store and give them those. But yeah, I think if it's too cold, it really is harder on them than we realize.
Harnesses versus a leash in hot weather. There's cooling harnesses, aren't there? Or do
you
those
know,
do anything?
I have not tried one. They say they are. I'm a big fan of just the collar if they're not pulling real hard. Or the harnesses that are just nylon straps. There's other harnesses that have a lot of material on them that go around their chest and over their back. Those, I think, get pretty hot for them. And I'd be real careful with those, but if they do give you more control, it's kind of a trade-off, you know, than hurting their neck if they're real pullers. But then there's also other options for that, a thing called the gentle leader that goes around their muzzle. But most harnesses, I think they can add to the heat and be hotter. But if, again, like I said, the ones that have extra material on them because it doesn't allow their body to breathe more or less.
Do dogs sweat?
You know, I'm not sure. I have not physically seen them. They pant when they're
true,
hot. And
true,
that's how I think that's how they sweat, is panting. I've not ever noticed a dog truly sweating.
Yeah. So I guess I never have either. But
yeah.
Plant safety. That's another big thing with dogs. It can be with kids, too. But there's a lot of plants that are harmful, if not deadly, to dogs.
Right, right. The biggest one that I'm aware of in the area and that people have been posting on Facebook is called hemlock, and it's a white flowery plant on top, but it has a stem that has some red, like, traces through it. Apparently, that's very deadly to dogs and can be to people, and you're not even to touch it isn't supposed to be good. And I have heard there's some in Crape Park, but along the creek, and then in some areas that are fairly high grass and stuff. And again, my dogs like sniffing and going in and where the deer all lay. So I have to be very careful about where we are. And that, again, is back to the ticks, too, is areas like that. So again, why I check them. But those plants apparently are in the area. But, you know, there's poison ivy and all kinds of stuff. Truly, I'm not a good plant person to know everything. But there are sites you can go to about plants and things to find out. And again, the ones I see around the park that I know of aren't bad, but there are things around that you do need to be aware of. Mine, again, stay mostly in the grassy areas. But
I know there's a lot of very common plants that are harmful to dogs, like geraniums and hostas, hydrangea, daffodils, things like that. And
Easter lilies, yes,
yeah,
true, in
I
the
don't
house.
Know if they have to ingest them or just...
I think it's ingesting them
if
they chew them or, you know, whatever. But yeah, there are things like that to be aware of in your house. And, you know, people bring you plants or you plant them outside.
Right.
You have to be careful of that.
As you mentioned, you can Google that sites,
you
know, to look up plants and things like that to get specifics. But you've really got to be always thinking about that.
Yeah.
Dogs
my dogs
are curious.
Like to eat grass, too. And that's one thing, you know, people, oh, that makes them sick or something. I think it really doesn't, but I watch what they do eat. Sometimes it's just, oh, look, it's there. I'm going to chew on it. But I just make sure, and I don't let them do it ongoing, but I'm not that terribly worried about just little grass that they eat. But yeah, there are plants and things that can
Well, you have to watch grass, too, if anybody has
sprayed
or put down for weed control and that kind of thing.
Right.
Can be bad.
Right, right. We might do our front yard and we don't let the dogs on it for over a week after it's been done and stuff, but we don't do the back typically or anything. And I'm careful about where I do take them if I know people are spraying. So yeah, that's true.
Let's talk a little bit about therapy dogs. You mentioned you're real involved with that. And I had a therapy dog and it was a wonderful experience. But therapy dogs are different from service dogs. And I think people sometimes use that interchangeably. Can you tell us the difference?
Yes. Therapy dogs are trained to go to other people. We want them to make other people happy and be able to pet them and things. And there's proof that people's blood pressure lowers by petting a dog. So we do a lot of visits and things with that. Emotional support dogs and service dogs like seeing eye dogs or, you know, dogs that help people like brace and all kinds of things. Those are trained specifically for one person. And so they're totally different than a therapy dog. They're trained to work with the person that is their handler. So you want to, you know, if you see somebody like with a seeing eye dog or something, don't run up to them. Go, oh, let me pet your dog. You don't want to pet those dogs. They're working.
Right.
And but therapy dogs, the more you pet them, the better.
If someone has a dog that they think might be a potential therapy dog, what's the process to become one?
Well, we are in the process of changing the organization we've been involved in. So we're kind of at a standstill right now for a few weeks. But we're going to be, what we do is we do classes. You want a dog, and I do basic training too for people if their dog knows nothing. You know, I'll go to houses or whatever. But as far as the therapy dogs, they have to know basic commands. And then we have a class that usually we start at Burchard Hills one evening, work with the dogs there. There's commands they need to know, like sit, stay, down, being around other dogs and other people and being under control. They have to wait, like, be away from the person that owns them. And not freak out if we kind of take them around a corner that they don't see the person. And that usually isn't a problem, but we need to test for that. And then just general being a good dog that's willing to go up to people and willing to ignore other dogs as far as right in their face, you know, and stuff. And we don't allow them. We don't want them going, you know, running up to each other or anything. We want them to learn to back off. But then, so we do that, and then the second week, we usually go to the hospital, and I'll work with them in the lobby, and then another person takes them upstairs to a room, and they visit, like, the nurse's station and maybe a patient and stuff, and so that they learn, here's what your job is. And then we take them back downstairs, and then the third week, we do the test. And there is a test that they have to follow. Right now, we're using Therapy Dogs International, and if you wanted to see the test, you could go into their website, because pretty much all of the tests for all, there's tons of different organizations, but all of the tests are pretty similar. So if you see that one, it gives you a general overview of what we're looking for in a dog. So, and again, it's Therapy Dogs International.
The experiences that we had were wonderful, and I think sometimes we got more out of it than the person even that we were visiting, because we'll list some of the places that you go other than the hospital, because there's a variety of places that
we do hospitals, we do nursing homes. We've been doing some of the elementary schools locally this past spring. Tomorrow being the second Saturday of the month, we will be at the library where kids read to the dogs from 11 to noon. And that's really good. The kids love it. And the dogs just come and the kids sit and read. And it's so cute. They show them pictures in the book and stuff. But it's really nice. And it's a nice program. And it helps kids learn reading when they don't even know it.
Yes.
And so we do that. And I'm trying to think. We've done just different places all over. And sometimes we get calls to go to like Malcolm Eaton or someplace, some of their residents and things. So we do a wide variety. We've done some of the doctor's offices at noon, you know, going to their lounges and stuff. And one woman was doing a study on how dogs, what their blood pressure, how they feel before they meet the dogs and how they feel after they meet the dogs. And it really is kind of interesting that they're much more relaxed. We did finals week here at Highland one time a couple of years ago, and that was kind of neat. So all kinds of opportunities and stuff for the dogs.
It's a real feel-good program.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And it's amazing to see the looks on people's faces. You know, we used to go to the hospital frequently, and you'd say, well, would you like a visit from a therapy dog? And their face would light up and they would just get happy. Oh, I've missed my dog. This is so great that I get to see it. You know, just experiences like that, that it really is an excellent program.
Yeah. And the hospital prints out cards, ID cards or whatever for the dogs, or like baseball cards of each of the dogs. And it's amazing. You go into a room with a patient that's been there a couple days and they've got them all lined up on their table and they
save
them.
It has a picture of the dog and the name and some of their favorite treats and so forth. And they do. They save those.
Yep. We did a visit recently and a woman had a card still from of a dog that we did, that the dog woman was with me. It was her dog. And she said, that card has to be at least 7 years old. And she had it hanging in her office.
So you know how much that meant to her.
Yep. It's interesting. Yeah, it's really cool.
Once again, if somebody is interested in the program or even just learning more about it, what's the best way to contact you?
I have a page, a Facebook page, and my business is Positive Pups Training. And you can look that up. That's usually the best ways to go on there. And even my own Facebook page is just Jan Carlson. And usually those are the best ways. Sometimes texting me is okay. And I can give you the number if you want it. It's 815-232-2566. Calling me a lot of times, I'm between here and Lena, and calls drop and I don't get them. And it's really weird. And then maybe 2 days later, I might get a message that comes through.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
Yeah,
that happens.
I'm going to Alaska later this year for about the fifth, sixth time. I can call from Anchorage, Alaska with no problem, but I can't go to Lena. Go figure.
Well, the Facebook page is probably because people can leave a message anytime and you'll see that. And
then
get back
when we're
to them.
Going to be doing a class or something, I post it a lot too. So that'll be on there too and stuff. So Facebook is probably the best bet.
High hopes for Ernie, our new dog, to be a therapy dog. And I'm not sure it's going to happen. But
Ernie we'll make it happen.
Ernie has a mind of his own. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll work out. Jan, thank you so much.
Oh,
this has been fun.
Well, thank you.
Once again, I'm Free Pod host Sherry Gibson. And please tune in to our regular weekly podcast for the local news you've been missing on Thursdays at noon. And then our in-depth interviews every Tuesday. And all of these are available to listen to anytime on the Free Pod website, through the website of our national public radio partner, WNIJ in DeKalb, or your favorite podcast platform. Thank you so much for listening.